Thank you for tuning in to the Lakewood Grace Podcast. We're a church in Lakewood, Washington, and whether you're listening from around the corner or from around the world, we're glad that you're here. We hope this sermon equips you to be the Christian the world needs today. If you'd like to learn more about us, head on over to lakewoodgrace.com. And now, for this week's sermon.
All right. Hey, happy Easter. My name is James. I'm one of the pastors here. Hey, so the Easter greeting, traditional Easter greeting is, I say, he is risen, and you respond by saying, he is risen indeed. So let's try that. He is risen.
He is risen.
One more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Fantastic. Hey, so the title of this sermon is, and what we're going to be looking at is the resurrection. I mean, it's Easter, right? But the title is Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so Easter, by far, is like the holiest holy day in the life of the church. Easter is the reason why the church exists. No Easter, Christmas doesn't matter. Christmas doesn't hold a candle to Easter. Easter tells the story of how much God loves sinners like you and me. Easter. And the thing about it is the empty tomb, the cross, what they tell us is when God thought about heaven and eternity, God could not imagine a heaven that didn't contain you. And so, because sin separates sinners from a holy God, God himself came down, died on the cross, went to hell on your behalf, and rose again from the dead. So, the story of Easter screams, God loves you. I know, unbelievable, unbelievable, I know. So if you're here thinking, dude, I'm only here because mama told me I needed to be here, my wife told me, and I don't know why it's always the ladies telling the men, you got to go to church, but I don't even want to be here, and let alone, how do you expect me to believe all that? Let's say there's a God, and you're telling me, you know, the God that's like the creator, he loves me? That he died for me? And what in the world does the empty tomb have to do with anything? So how do we make sense of all this? It's truly unbelievable. And if that's where you're at, that's exactly who I want to talk to today. Because you have some homework to do. Because you're going to see that you're not the only ones who don't believe in the resurrection. You're in good company. And what's astonishing is none of the disciples believed in the resurrection. The women who followed Jesus starting in Galilee, none of them believed in the resurrection. And so the homework for you is, look, if you get this Jesus thing wrong, if I'm wrong, then so be it. You know, you go about living your life the way you do and nothing changes. But if you're wrong on this Jesus thing, you got all of eternity. This is an eternal matter, and not only is it an eternal matter, but you're going to be damned, and that's the last place you want to be. Don't get this wrong. So if you're going to be honest as an agnostic or an atheist, do your homework. Figure out why Easter is Easter. Figure out what happened to these people who on Easter morning, the first Easter morning was anything like our Easter. Our Easter is like, yay, he is risen. He's risen indeed. And the church is like, yay. The first Easter morning was nothing like that. So, you know, we've been in Luke. We've been looking at Luke this whole year. This last chapter in the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 24, before we get into the specifics, let me just tell you how this chapter functions. Tuesday, we all woke up to the news story, the Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed, right? Remember that? We all woke up and it's all over the news and all the morning newscasts talking about breaking news, big story, Key Bridge, big container ship slams into it, falls down. So the morning news, when something big happens, is not much detail other than, hey, something big happened. We don't know what it means yet. We don't know what happened yet, but something big happened. That's the morning news, right? And they say, we're gathering information, and as soon as we find out more, you'll be the first to know, right? That's what the morning news says. By the time you get into the afternoon and noon and the 12 o'clock news, there's a little bit more detail that they've gathered. And they're telling you stories like, hey, the ship captain knew that there was no power and no steering, and so they were able to call the officials and the police department so that they stopped traffic so that people wouldn't be on the bridge when they might crash into it, and there's more detail, right? And then by the evening news, by the 11 o'clock news, you've got eyewitness accounts, and you've got more detail into what happened. All right, so Luke 24 is like that. And Luke 24, the resurrection first Easter accounts are the morning news. Something big just went down. We don't know what it means, but something big happened. And then next week's story, the road to Emmaus. So I'm telling you, you got to come for now that you've come here. You got to come two more weeks, because next week is the 12 o'clock news, and they're gathering a little bit more information, and they talk to two people who were there walking with Jesus, and they start gaining a little bit more information. And the 2 weeks from now, the story of the ascension is the 11 o'clock news, where they're finally starting to put pieces together to gain meaning to what in the world does all this mean? But the first Easter morning was unbelievable. And the reason why it's so unbelievable is it's not like Jesus didn't prepare them for what was about to happen. Jesus, for months, as he's been walking with them from Caesarea Philippi, which is as north as you can get in the land of Israel, all the way down to Jerusalem, which is down south, for months, Jesus has been telling them, the Son of Man, we are going to Jerusalem, where he will be betrayed into the hands of sinners, where he will suffer, where he will die, and on the third day, he will be resurrected again. And every one of the Gospels records it at least three times. Jesus has been saying this message the entire time as they're going to Jerusalem. For months now, hey, I am going to Jerusalem to be betrayed, to die, to rise again on the third day. Months, he's been telling them. So let's see how the disciples do on that first Easter morning. John chapter 20, verse 9 tells us, they, the disciples, still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. And this is the ending of the first Easter morning, and this is the gospel writers, this is the Bible telling you what that first Easter morning was like. You know, we gather and we're like, hey, everyone gets dressed up. I'm wearing slacks. I typically wear jeans, and I even ironed my shirt today. And so it's Easter, dude. You got it. It's Easter. But the first Easter morning, the first Easter day, they saw the empty tomb. Several of them saw an angel who said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Angels show up speaking to them. There were women who were at the tomb saw the tomb empty, saw the linen there, but there's no body there. Peter and John run to the tomb, saw the same thing. They saw the empty tomb, the stones rolled away. And still, at the end of the day, John tells us, they still did not understand why Jesus had to rise from the dead. Mark tells us, and this is the last thing on Easter day, Easter Sunday, trembling, listen to the words, trembling, bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing about what they had seen because the last word for Easter Sunday is because they were afraid. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The tomb is empty. And the women say nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Unbelievable. I know. I know. And then our text says, chapter 24, verse 12, and Peter went away. And meaning, there were ladies that show up where the disciples are hiding. The disciples are hiding because they're fearing for their life. They saw Jesus die. And here's the crazy thing. They saw Jesus go from flesh, turn into a corpse. They saw rigor mortis set in. They saw that body get taken down, put into a tomb. They saw him die. They saw the putrefying body. And so Peter, the women show up at this house and where the disciples are hiding. And the women are like, hey, we went to the tomb to prepare the body for burial, and he's not there. And then the angels are like, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He's not here. He is risen. And they report this, and Peter's like, what the heck? Unbelievable. So Peter runs over to the tomb, and listen to this. And Peter sees the empty tomb, sees the linen, no body there, and he went away, wondering what the heck just happened. So the first Easter was anything but celebratory. The first Easter was filled with fear, bewilderment, confusion. What the heck is going on? So here's the homework for all you who may find this truly unbelievable. How did the disciples, even after angels show up talking to them, even after they see the empty tomb, they see the linen, they go away confused, afraid, bewildered, how do these bumbling idiots become the very foundation that the church is built on? How do these guys become the very ones who will go to their death? They would rather die being persecuted and put to death than to deny that Christ is risen from the dead. What in the world happened to these disciples? That's your question you got to be able to answer. And if you are an honest agnostic, honest atheist, you got to deal with this question, because if you get it wrong, the consequences are devastating. So what in the world happened to these guys? Well, let's find out together. Here's the morning news, verses 1 through 3. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. All right, pause there for a second. So on the first day of the week, which is Sunday morning, very early in the morning, first thing in the morning, before the sun's even risen, you see, the women have been anxious to get to the tomb because by the third day, the body's stinking. the body's putrefying. And what happened was Jesus died at 3, right around 3. And by the time they got his body down and they found a suitable tomb, it was around 6 o'clock in the afternoon, already very close to Sabbath on Friday. Sabbath begins on sundown on Friday. And so normally you would prepare the body with spices and such so that it wouldn't stink as it's putrefying. But they didn't get a chance to do that because it was sundown, and at sundown, Sabbath begins, and you can't work. And you see, the Jews had two burials. One is where right after someone died, they would wrap the body in linen, and then they would wrap the body with spices. And then they would place it in a tomb, and oftentimes the tomb had multiple bodies putrefying in there. And they waited until all the flesh went away and all you had was bones. And then when it was just bones, then they would take the bones out of the tomb and then they would bury the bones in the ground. There were two burials. So what the ladies go on Sunday morning, they can't wait to get there. They've got the spices ready. They are ready to prepare the body of Jesus for a burial. But don't miss this. Jesus had told them for months, I will rise again. I will go to Jerusalem. I will be betrayed. I will die. I will rise again on the third day. Jesus told them that, right? What do the ladies go to the tomb to find? They go to find a corpse. Jesus told them, I'm coming back. I'm going to rise on the third day. But they go to the tomb with the spices and all the burial accoutrements. Why? They got to prepare the dead body for decomposing, right? There's not even a hint of the resurrection. Not even a thought. They're like, what? They go to prepare the corpse for putrefaction. That's why they go to the tomb. And while they are going, they're discussing, these three ladies are discussing, oh my gosh, how do we roll the stone away? The stone weighed several tons. It would cover the entrance of the whole way, and it wasn't perfectly circular. It would have been a circular stone cut off at the end so that when you rolled it into the doorway, the flat piece would just close that thing shut, because the last thing you want is a bunch of putrefying bodies stinking up the town, right? So you wanted to make sure that the thing was sealed. And the only way to remove that stone was for men with stones and logs to unlaunch that stone that weighs several tons from that flat spot to get on the circular piece to roll away. And so the women are like, how are we going to roll the stones away? They show up at the tomb, and the tomb, the stone's already been rolled away. And so they go into the tomb. There's no body there. So verses 4 through 8. While they were wondering about this, what does this mean? Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And then in their fright, the women bowed down and their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Okay, so again, they see the empty tomb. They see the linen. The body's not there, and they're still wondering, what does this mean? They don't get it. They're totally confused, bewildered, afraid. So the angel's like, no, he's risen just like he said he would. And they still don't get it. Unbelievable. I know. It's unbelievable. Duh, Jesus said it multiple times. And only when the angel repeated what Jesus had said, remember, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified on the third day to be risen again. When they remembered the words of Jesus, when they remembered his words, it all began to start making sense. So here's the first discipleship application. When you forget the words of Jesus, you will face terrible consequences. When you forget the promises of Jesus, forgetting the promises of Jesus has terrible consequences. When you forget the words of Jesus, where you will always end up when you forget the words of Jesus is at the tomb where dead people dwell. If you forget the words of Jesus, you will end up in the tomb. There is no hope at the tomb. There's no joy at the tomb. There's no life at the tomb. When you forget the gospel story, all you end up with is darkness and death. You forget God's words and promises, and all you end up with is a world gone to hell with Putin wreaking havoc without any consequences, where the thugs and the drug dealers and the criminals win the day. That's all you end up with, is this world, if you forget the promises of God, that every single second is marching toward God's victory, that this world will have an end and a purpose. You forget the words of God and the promises of God, and you will have terrible consequences. You will always end up hopeless and dead. So verses 9 and 12. When they came back from the tomb, the women did, they told these things to the 11 disciples and all the other Christians or the disciples there. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Okay, so the women, after seeing the angel and hearing the angel, they run over to the disciples who are hiding. If anything, the disciples, of all the people on planet Earth, you know what they should have been doing from Friday? They should have been counting the hours, going, we can't wait for Easter morning. He's going to rise from the dead. That's what Jesus said. So they should have been waiting with great anticipation. Instead, what are they doing? They're cowering. They're afraid of their own death, afraid of what's going to happen to them next, because the thought of the resurrection is not even on their radar. It's truly unbelievable. So the women show up, and then what Luke tells us is this very interesting. Luke names three ladies, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James. And the reason why he names them, you see, is in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, we're told Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, were the three primary financiers that backed Jesus and the disciples. Because, you know, when you're traveling around and when you got to eat somewhere, eat something, you got to sleep someplace, guess who's forking up the bill? The ladies were. And primarily, these three ladies were paying for everything. And so not only were they financiers, but they were highly respected. And so what's astonishing is these three ladies, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, come back, and they tell them, we went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, the tomb is empty, the body's not there. And then the angel says, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is risen. So what did the disciples do? Yay! He is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter. Is that what happened? They thought they heard these women talking. And the term, remember, Luke is a doctor, right? So the word that says, that's translated in our text is, and they thought their words seemed to them like nonsense. That word nonsense literally means babbling. It's the medical term describing the babbling of a dying, fevered, insane mind. It's a medical term. And so the disciples, the ladies come back saying, we saw the empty tomb. We saw angels who told us Jesus has risen from the dead. And so disciples are like, these ladies have gone nuts. They're just babbling away. And they did not believe the women. So, okay. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you're in good company. None of the disciples believed. But here's what you got to wrestle with. How come Easter's Easter then? How come we're here 2,000 years later celebrating Easter? What in the world happened to these bumbling, unbelieving idiots where every one of them will go to their death? They will be put to their death because they keep proclaiming Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And they won't shut up about it. And they will go to their death, be put to death, every one of them, saying Jesus has risen from the dead. So that's your homework, you agnostics and atheists. What in the world do you do with this Christmas story and this Easter story? What do you do with these disciples who are unbelieving on Easter Sunday? And every one of them will go to their grave saying, he is risen. He is risen indeed. One of the greatest proofs of the resurrection of Christ is in Acts chapter 15. We come across a scene where the leader of the Jerusalem church is a guy named James, who happens to be the brother of Jesus. And remember, in Mark, we're told when Jesus is going around talking about the Son of Man this, Son of Man that, and performing miracles, and everyone thinks he might be the Messiah, the brothers and siblings show up to take Jesus away from the crowd. Do you know why? They thought he'd gone nuts. They thought Jesus was crazy. And here's why. Think about your brother. Think about your sibling, if you don't have a brother. What would it take you to say to your brother where you bow down on your knees and say, my master, Lord, and Savior? What would it take for you to say to that, your sibling? And here's the problem with the siblings. You see, the brothers, brothers do brother things to one another, to their siblings. And it oftentimes involves nasty smells and body functions. And you know, so James, the brother of Jesus, is like, Jesus is talking like this wise guy, teacher, and Son of Man this, and Son of Man that, and he's doing miracles. He's doing miracles. He's doing all this stuff. But the brothers are like, dude, I know what your fart smells like. When we eat beans, your fart stinks just like mine. I know what your body functions are like. You cry and you whine just like the rest of us. And you're going around telling people you're the Son of God. He's gone crazy. So how does James, the brother of Jesus, go from Jesus has gone crazy to where he's now the leader of the Jerusalem church and later he will be put to death? Because he refuses to shut up about the fact that Jesus is risen. How do you explain that? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Jesus said it would happen. Not just once, not just twice. Multiple times. I will go to Jerusalem where I will be betrayed. I will be put to death, and on the third day I will rise again. Multiple times. Happens just the way he said, and yet none of them believe. What we have at the end of Easter in every one of the gospel texts is bewilderment, confusion, and fear. The disciples, even after the empty tomb, even after the angels, even after the women, even after they see everything, they still don't get it because resurrection is not on their radar. They saw the guy die. They saw the guy starting to get stiff. They saw him turn into a corpse. And when they do go to the tomb, they're expecting a corpse, a putrefying body, not the resurrected Christ. And even after they see the empty tomb, they can't believe in the resurrection. So at the end of scene one, the initial reports are coming in. Something big just went down. Nobody knows what's going on. All they know is the stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. So they're wondering who took the body of Jesus. So stay tuned. As soon as we get more information, you'll be the first to know. So you got to come back next week. That's the midday news. And then if you want to make sense of all this resurrection stuff, you got to come back 2 weeks from now because that's the evening news. So takeaway. The takeaway really is this. For all of you unbelievers, how did Easter become what it is? Such a core identity for Christians where no resurrection, there's no Christianity. Christianity literally is dead in its tracks without the empty tomb. So how did the disciples go from this bumbling, unbelieving idiots to where every single one of them will go to their death proclaiming Christ is risen? What happened? You have to explain that. You have to come to terms with that. Do your homework. Do your research. What happened? What happened? And little clue for what happened is what changed these idiots? They hung out with the resurrected Christ. They ate with the resurrected Christ. They saw the resurrected Christ. One of them put fingers in the hands, the nail marks of the resurrected Christ. They hung out with him for 40 days. And they saw him ascend into heaven. And then they were able to look back at the Christmas or the Easter morning and say, aha, that was the turning point. That's where sinners become saints because of what Christ has done. And they're able to look back on Easter and find meaning. And from that moment on, Easter is like the greatest day in the church history. And it's because they hung out with Jesus. And so, you unbelievers, I'm so glad you are here. Do your homework. Don't get this one wrong. How did these guys change? All right, finally, let me close with this then. Our takeaway is Jesus isn't someone just to be studied like a textbook. Jesus is someone you got to hang out with. He's not someone just to be studied in books. You got to hang out with him. And only by hanging out with the resurrected Christ will you be transformed. Let me close with a story. So, you know, I've been doing this pastor thing for like 30 plus years. And so about 10, 15 years ago, yeah, it had to have been 15 to 20 years ago because we were living in Texas. You know, all my kids, all the girls, they're in their 20s, not quite 30s yet, but they were all in elementary school, and I don't know if Caleb was around. I don't remember. But we, because, you know, that's the age you take them to Disney World, right? Or Disneyland. We did those all the time. And great for kids, misery for parents, right? So we're in Disney World, and we just got done spending all day, days on end at these theme parks, and it's just exhausting for the mom and dad. And so we get them home at night. We were in this condo that we rented, and we got them fed. They were all cleaned up. They're all in bed now. They're sleeping. And Helen's just passed out at doing all this. She's exhausted. She's sleeping. And I'm ready to go to bed after I brush my teeth, and I'm thinking, oh, crud. I didn't do my quiet time. And I'm like, dude, you're the preacher guy. You got to read your Bible and pray. And so I take my Bible, and I am not in a good mood. I take my Bible. I go out to the dining room table, and I literally slam the Bible. I say a bad word, and I say, okay, Jesus, let's do this blinking thing. Right? And I open up the Bible, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. I'm looking at the seat across the table from me, and I'm thinking, James, what if Jesus is sitting there? He's not just some book you're studying, but if the person of Jesus who provided you the ability to take your kids to Florida, to go to Orlando and do all this, what if he's sitting there and he's been waiting all day to hang out with you and slam the Bible? Let's do this bleeping thing. And I imagine, what if that was one of my kids waiting for daddy to come home? And I'm tired, and I'm like, all right, dang it, let's talk. How devastating that would be. And I thought, you idiot. He's not someone just to be studied. You got to hang out with him. Because when you hang out with him, he'll change you forever. Let's pray. Hey, God, thank you so much for this day. Man, thank you for loving stupid, bewildered, confused, idiotic sinners like me and the disciples. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the empty tomb. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for anyone who is not believing, that they would take an honest look and study at how do these guys change? What changed them? What happened? Something happened. They all go to their death proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. Something happened. So what happens there? And I pray, oh God, if there's anyone who hasn't said yes to you, Lord, may this be the day where people say yes. And if you haven't said yes to Jesus, man, that's how this whole thing starts. And you say something like this in your own word. You say, Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Forgive my sins. And I will follow you. And if you've said that, man, you're going to need a church, and that's us. So we'd love for you to walk with us. For the rest of us, God, man, we forget you're a living presence. And my gosh, the way we treat you sometimes. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, for you deserve better. You deserve more. And Lord, that's what we'd like to do, is to give you more of ourselves. For you are truly amazing. We thank you. We are totally unworthy. So thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to the Lakewood Grace Podcast. please be sure to subscribe and then head on over to lakewithgrace.com/connect, where you'll find a link to contact us or you can fill out a communication card. Have a wonderful week. God bless.